Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins.
Welcome to a new episode of the Realm of Heroes and Monsters, and we're in Season 3, and actually we're coming to the end of it. We're actually in the final third. But anyway, I want to make a plea with you guys before we get the show started, and that's simply please subscribe to this podcast. Your subscription to this podcast, especially through YouTube, is a way for me to have the ability to keep making more stuff for you guys. It's free for you, it's work for me, so you win like double on that one. But yeah, it could really be a big help. So if you could please give us a subscribe here, that would be really great. But in the meantime, we need to talk about stories. Why? Because that's our whole thing this season. We have had done over 20 episodes, and we're talking about stories and how they affect everyday life in the story before the story segment, before we hear our story for story time. So let's get into story before the story, and let's see what stories have in store for us this week. Okay, it's story before the story time. So here's one, and I'm sure you've wondered this yourself. You must have, okay? So, like, obviously, human beings are not the only species on Earth, right? There's a bazillion other, well, not a bazillion other, but you know what I'm talking about. There's millions of other species on this planet. Everything from living species, as in, like, you know, they are like us. They have some form of body, some form of limbs, some sort of inner workings. And then, of course, there's other living things, too, right? We got things like our trees. We got our garden. All that kind of stuff, right? So what I'm wondering is this, you know, we don't really think about the lives of these things. So let's just take a pet dog as a basic example. Your pet dog or cat, if you're a cat person, I mean, they got their daily life, their daily routine, their daily do this, daily do that, and they're living. And they're experiencing their own story. And they're experiencing it in a way that we really don't understand. I mean, I looked up, you know, what do dogs think about? And they've done tests and that kind of stuff to see sort of what stimulus activates which part of the brain and that kind of thing. But in terms of like actually figuring out what they think about when they're just, you know, how dogs just sort of lay there with their eyes open or they're looking out the window forever, you know, that kind of stuff. And we don't know. We just don't know. So we can only imagine taking that template and then applying it across all species, right? And not only that, even I'm going to go back to the tree thing. Those guys are alive. They may not talk. They may not walk. They may or may not think, or at least in a way that we could understand, right? They don't. Everything, we always keep doing stuff where we keep comparing it to humans. Everything's to humans, right? We're like the gold standard, you know, so to speak. But it's 100% crap because, like, everything's going to be functioning on a different level in different ways. So you have to look at it from those perspectives. And I don't like the idea that we think of thinking the way that you and I think of thinking and how we have our own thoughts and that kind of stuff. Thinking could be anything. I mean, how many times have you thought a thought, but it actually wasn't in your head? You actually, maybe something you pondered in your heart or something you pondered, even like you kind of feel throughout your body as opposed to like actual mental words and actual mental pictures, you know? And so I can't help but wonder now with all these different species and all these different living things that are on the planet, what are their stories? What is a story to them? You know, I mean, go with a mighty old oak tree, right? And it's standing there hundreds of years, those big thick suckers, right? And like, how much have they seen? How much have they been through? How much have they witnessed? You know, or even that bunny out in the front yard, you know, where has he been in the whole neighborhood? Where, you know, did he chase anything today? Did he go straight to the, you know, garden patch or whatever, like, you know, or that squirrel that we see climbing trees like Spider-Man or even houses. I've seen them on stucco. It's crazy. Like total Spider-Man things. But anyway, yeah, like what are their stories? And these are all these stories that we're missing out on. And these stories that I think we should be exploring. Like, can you imagine if we were accurately able to make a day in the life of a dog documentary/movie? I'm not talking one where you follow them around the house, but you're like right in their point of view, right in their thought process, right in their line of sight, and you get to see what dogs actually see, which isn't, of course, full color. You know, you get to be able to hear on the frequencies that they can hear that humans can't. All sorts of things can happen, and like, I just wish we would dive further into that, because I'm sure we could discover unique stories, unique concepts, unique items that we as humans can't fathom. You know, and just because a pet, for example, has we would consider a lesser intelligence, it doesn't mean they have bad ideas or bad things go through their head. Not at all. It doesn't mean they're stupid. It just means they're incapable of doing certain things that you and I could do, but they're fully capable of thinking their own items for their own lives as per their, you know, parameters, you know, whether mentally, physically, whatever. So, yeah, if you're like one of those like biologist people and like who likes to get into like how do animals work, and maybe consider this path, because it'd be really great if one day there was produced like a day in the life of a horse, or a day in the life of a dog, or in the life of a cat. Well, a cat's easy, you just sleep all day, so the screen would be black. But but yeah, like, you know what I'm talking about? So I would love to learn those stories. And those are forgotten stories. They're stories that are never told. But they're stories that they do happen. And I just wish we had access to it somehow. But again, once more, stories. It's everywhere. And it's even in all the living things. Even that little bacteria and all that stuff that's crawling all over your skin right now. All those little guys, they're doing something, and they all got their own story. You can't see it, you can't hear it, you might not understand it, but it's happening, it's going down, and they're experiencing a story. And who knows, in terms of how they communicate, maybe they'll be telling that story to their friend later on in the day. Guess what I was doing on the arm? Oh, well, I was on the leg. What were you doing? You know, that kind of stuff. So, all right, enough about that. Let's get into story time. This one is a sci-fi. It's bittersweet. It's called Dear Mom. Dear Mom. Dear Mom, I'm running away now. My bag is packed. I left some clothes behind so you'd remember me. I took one picture, the one of us on the Ferris wheel. I don't want to forget you. Thank you for being a good mom to me. Thank you for packing my lunches and seeing me off to school. Thank you for taking me to the zoo. Thank you for my 11 birthday parties. I love you, but it's time to say goodbye. So, goodbye. Your son, Mac. It wasn't a bad letter. Mac thought it would be something an 11-year-old would write. He was always smart, so noted his punctuation and spelling were better than most. He just didn't know how to leave the woman he claimed as his mother when he entered her womb and ate the growing fetus within over a decade ago, using his genetic material as a blueprint for his disguise so he could covertly enter the world. 11 years on Earth. 11 years recording as many life forms and behavioral patterns as he could. 11 years of steady observation and learning. He remembered everything. Every cartoon episode, every eavesdrop from his bedroom door while his parents watched the news, every comic book, every newspaper his father daily discarded, every computer game with colorful characters, every ounce of Google he was able to surf at night while his parents slept. 11 years of intake. Mission complete. Max stood by the railway tracks and waited. He thought of his mom and the inevitable tears to her eyes when she read his note. He thought of his father trying to remain strong for her. Mac was their only son. He had rendered his poor mother barren when he infiltrated her womb that night long ago. His parents tried for years to have more kids, despite being told it was impossible. Max saw the train down the track. He waited. It got closer. Dear Mom, he thought, I'm going to break your heart one more time. Dear Dad, you need to be brave. Do it for her. Do it for the woman you love. The train sounded, obviously seeing him. Mac jumped onto the track and ran toward the giant metal machine. The train blew its horn. Mac ran faster. Dear Mom, this is the only way we can both be free. You will eventually heal after thinking I'm dead. But don't worry, I won't really die. I will think of you often and carry your memory just as you will carry mine. The train plowed into him, splattering his body in a starburst of flesh and bone. Snarlyglunin's bones, white and semi-transparent form, spun out of his mortal housing and flew into the air, the droning of the train's horn still sounding below. The headline would read, "Local runaway killed by train," he knew. but it was the only way. Death, though grievous, brought closure. Svartalfheim thought this would be the best way to preserve his parents' heart, instead of merely disappearing and forcing them to wonder for the rest of their lives what happened to their son. Dear Mom, I love you. Dear Dad, I love you too. Svartalfheim broke through the atmosphere and detected the cloaked starship next to the moon. He headed toward it. It was time to report, and she would be happy to see him. Dear Mom, my captain and true giver of life, he thought, I'm coming home. Thanks for sticking around till after the credits, as always. So, here we are. Show's over, show's done, curtain call, that kind of thing. What happens after this? Well, you know what I'm doing? This segment, I always record last. And you know what happens after this? This is like a backstage scenario. I say my little shtick, I sign off, turn off the recorder, and then I get to put together everything in terms of compiling it all and making it a show for you. So that's what happens backstage after the show is over. So consider this little after-the-credits scene sort of a behind-the-scenes thing. So that's what happens next. I'm going to take what we recorded, and they're going to have to get rendered out, and then they're going to go into the overall machine, which has the show template, so to speak, and then it's all going to get laid out in there, and then it's going to get rendered accordingly, and then we upload to YouTube, and you guys get to listen to this stuff, not just through the listen-watch version, but also through the listen-only version, which... is available through my website, canisterx.com, YouTube Music, Spotify, and all those other places too. So we do two versions. We got the listen watch that we're doing now that you're seeing here, and then also, of course, the listen only because podcasts are podcasts. But anyway, that's the behind the scenes for after the credits. See you next week, and we'll have more stories to tell.